Part 1, Chapter 15, Gateway. Exactly how cicadas keep track of time has always intrigued researchers, and it has always been assumed that the insects must rely on an internal clock. Recently, however, one group of scientists working with a 17-year cicada in California have suggested that the nymphs use an external cue and that they can count. For their experiments, they took 15-year-old nymphs and moved them to an experimental closure. These nymphs should have taken a further 2 years to emerge as adults. But in fact, they took just 1 year. The researchers had made this happen by lengthening the period of daylight to which the peach trees on whose roots the insects fed were exposed. By doing this, the trees were tricked into flowering twice during the year rather than the usual once. Flowering in trees coincides with a peak in amino acid concentrations in the sap that the insects feed on. So it seems that the cicadas keep track of time by counting the peaks. Exercise 1. The most effective leaders are those who are in touch with their leadership stories. This is in part because, as Gail Sheedy once said, the story we tell to ourselves becomes the story we are living. The story itself shapes our attitudes, actions, and reactions. When we know our stories, we know ourselves. Stories, however, are equally important because they allow other people to know us. Stories create real human connections by allowing others to get inside our minds and our lives. With their human leading characters, dramas, and climaxes, they engage listeners on an emotional and intuitive level that is rarely touched by the purely rational argument. Exercise 2. Walk into a typical preschool classroom and what are you likely to find? A variety of learning centers and materials, such as an art table, a nature area, blocks, a math area, a reading corner, and a writing table, among others. Despite the diversity suggested by this arrangement, much of the assessment of children's cognitive development has focused on two symbolic domains, language and mathematics. This conception of development is based on traditional notions of intelligence that take a unitary view of the human mind. This model has had enormous impact not just on the way children are viewed in school, but on Western thinking about intelligence in general. Children who do not exhibit competence in language and logic are often identified as at risk for school failure. Some of these children may eventually fall through the cracks of the educational system if their strengths in other areas go unrecognized. Exercise 3. The social scientist George Valiant suggests that faith comes from the emotion of trust, while belief, which may come from the six senses, is really a cognition. We all have faith or trust in something. Even non-believers have faith in their mind, in nature, in the universe, or in some other kind of thing. We tend to associate faith with religious discussions, but there are all kinds of ways to distinguish between faith and belief. For example, I might stand at the bottom of a rock climbing wall and tell someone, "I believe in the rock climbing techniques I've just been taught." But when I'm 50 feet up that wall, I may be thinking, if not saying, "I have faith in these rock climbing techniques." Maybe faith is about holding belief with enough confidence to take action, even when the outcome is not known. Depending upon how we use our intellect, we may never climb the wall at all. Exercise 4. Researchers have evidence that suggests that helping by children really is motivated by genuine care for others. My colleagues conducted an experiment in which an adult played with a 3-year-old and asked him or her to hand over certain objects for certain tasks. For example, the adult had a pitcher of water next to her and asked the child, "Can you hand me the cup so that I can pour the water?" When the object requested was suitable, an unbroken cup, for example, children usually handed it over. But sometimes the object request was unsuited for the task, such as a cup with a crack in it. The researchers found that children often ignored the requested item and reached for a suitable one, such as an intact cup in another part of the room. So the children weren't just dumbly complying with the adult. They wanted to actually help her complete the task. Exercise 5. The power of physics has been due to the fact that it is a very definite science, which has profoundly altered daily life. But this alteration has proceeded by operating on the environment, not on man himself. Given a science equally definite and capable of altering man directly, physics would be put in the shade. This is what psychology may become. Until recent times, psychology was unimportant physiological verbiage. The academic stuff that I learned in youth was not worth learning. But now there are two ways of approaching psychology which are obviously important. One that of the physiologists, and the other that of psychoanalysis. As the results in these two directions become more definite and more certain, it is clear that psychology will increasingly dominate man's perspective. Exercise 6. Many health education campaigns have attempted to motivate people to change their behavior through fear or guilt. Anti-drinking and driving campaigns at Christmas showed the devastating effects on families of road accident victims. Smoking prevention posters urge parents not to teach your children how to smoke. Increasingly hard-hitting campaigns are used amongst others to raise awareness of the consequences of heavy drinking, smoking, and drug use. Whether such campaigns do succeed in shocking people to change their behavior is the subject of ongoing debate. Although fear can encourage a negative attitude and even an intention to change, such feelings tend to disappear over time and when faced with a real decision-making situation. Being very frightened can also lead people to deny and avoid the message. Protection motivation theory suggests that fear only works if the threat is perceived as serious and likely to occur if the person does not follow the recommended advice. Exercise 7. A better understanding of basic human genetics might help explain what kind of diet is best for human bodies. Due to a lot of overly simplified storytelling, many people have come to believe that there was one way of eating that was natural for all humans. As a result, many believe that there is one natural healthy diet that should be eaten if we want to become and stay healthy and active. This belief may in fact not be true at all. When modern humans migrated out of Africa, they quickly expanded to all corners of the earth, including some places where there was no whole grain bread, lean beef, or gardens full of leafy greens. Luckily, humans can eat just about anything, and each group of people around the globe has its distinct diet, with its own mix of fat, protein, carbohydrates, fiber, and sugars. People with beautiful skin have been raised on each of these many different diets. Exercise 8. Technology influenced and even rearranged the traditional divisions between professions and the workforce. The introduction of automation and manufacturing allowed many manufacturing processes to be done by less skilled workers. Also, the new, more complicated technology associated with automated manufacturing required more know-how. Technical know-how became the domain of an increasingly powerful but small group of people. During the 1960s and 1970s, automation also reached the office with the same results. For example, when the first computers appeared in management, banking, and administration, they were completely puzzling to the average worker, and the few computer specialists gained considerable earning power. Meanwhile, some of the tasks secretaries and bookkeepers normally do could now be handled by word processing and spreadsheet programs that a manager could use himself or herself.